Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. The countdown clock is over. Like, it's just time already. And I didn't get to, we spent so much time in our Next Steps class this morning, like, I was just behind, like, we just came. But man, we were having such a good conversation, weren't we? Wasn't that good stuff? All right. Take a couple of minutes and say hi to somebody. I know this is the whole weird church thing, but everybody's having a conversation. I just want to say hi to everybody. You're already almost quiet. You're not all that friendly this morning. It's fine. We'll just, you know, maybe later. I just want to welcome everybody, visitors, first-time guests, all that kind of stuff. I just want to welcome you here. I want to say good morning to everybody. I didn't get a chance to say hi, so good morning to everyone. Okay, it's like 11 o'clock. You should be awake. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. We are here to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now we got you there. Okay, so as we come to worship the Lord, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about some announcements and stuff. Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we just want to praise and thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you would gather us all together, Lord, so that we could worship with one voice, so that, Lord, we could praise you together, so that, Lord, we could be
Alexa,
united.
So we pray we set an alarm Lord, you have your for 1 hour and 35 minutes.
Father, that we would be set upon your will, knowing it and doing it and living accordingly. And so, Lord, as we come to your word today, would you just make your word just known to us? Holy Spirit, have your way with our lives. Have your way with absolutely everything. Let our praise, our worship be acceptable to you. Lord, we come to confess. Lord, we know that you don't expect perfection out of us, but Lord, we know that we've blown it. Lord, we know that we need to come to this place. But Lord, we need to be built up. We need to be strengthened. Lord, we need to be encourage one another. And so, Father, you've collected us here. And so we want to thank you for forgiveness. Lord, as we're going to have communion, Lord, later this morning, we just want to get our hearts in a place ready for communion. Lord, as we're going to testify to one another, as we're going to testify in your presence of what you did on the cross for us, Lord, we pray and we ask that we would take it in a worthy, acceptable way. And so, Lord, be preparing our hearts for that. We want to thank you. We want to praise you, Jesus, for all that you do. In your name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, good morning again. Good morning. I just quick announcement. I think all the youth came back from camp alive. That's all we promised. Okay, that's all we promised. The youth are back. We had a good time at camp. Your pastor really gets to act like a child for a little while, so camp is great for me. I got the blob kids. I got the arm wrestle kids. Oh, yeah, and we studied the Bible, and we did that stuff, too. But camp was a good time, so make sure you grab one of the teenagers who went to camp and ask them what the Lord showed them, all right? Because, yeah. And so ask one of the teenagers, hey, what did the Lord show you? What is the Lord doing in your life through camp this week? And so ask them to give you a little bit of testimony of that. Also, tonight there will be no evening service here because we will be having service up at the lake. Frenchman's Lake, when you get up to the lake, you'll be able to turn right to go across the dam, or you'll be able to go left. Go to the left all the way in the back Cottonwood Campground. We will be back there. Those of you who are camping, it's open. We have some camp spots and some stuff. Do not get there before 2 o'clock. We cannot get started checking in and stuff until after 2 o'clock. There's a church who has the campground right now. They will probably welcome you, but I don't want you to take my spot. But we'll get there after 2 o'clock is fine. Then they're supposed to be out by then. We can start taking spaces then. So 2 o'clock. But prayer meeting, Tuesday night prayer meeting, will also be up there at the lake. And so if you're wanting to come to prayer meeting, don't come to the church. Come up to the lake. We'll have a big campfire. We'll pray around the campfire. We'll have some s'mores afterward. We'll just have a good time. We'll have some guitar and some worship, huh? Yes, we will. All right. And so we'll just have a good time up there. And so please join us up there. Men's and women's will still take place here, whatever. Is women's canceled? Yeah, there's... Oh, okay, it is welcome. Yeah, okay, thought so. Men's and women's on Wednesday will be the same, and then Thursday night will be the same. We can camp up there from this afternoon until Thursday morning at 11 or 12 or something like that. So if you're coming to camp, please come up to camp and enjoy. It's covered. Just bring your own food, okay? Bring your own food. I might let you look in my fridge for a minute, but that's it, one time. other than that, just, hey, let's have a good time worshiping the Lord. Amen? All right, let's pray.
Okay, stand and join us if you're able.
Thank you.
It's amazing. He's both high and lifted up and sovereign and full of majesty. But he calls us friend. Wow. Wow. Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And what love that was and is.
How to read where I'm at now. And my dad was always hard on me, telling me I couldn't do it. But one day, he came to realize how I was doing, and he, me and him, he apologized to me, and we were crying, and me and him accepted the Lord that day. And he was so. And I'm just proud of myself because I have learned a lot since the coming years being in the church with my church family. And I love you all.
That's church family. She said she just she had to share her testimony because of just where the Lord has brought her because of this church family. So she didn't know how to read or write. I mean, like, how many of you like take that for, you know, advantage of that, like all the time? Like, and so she just wanted to thank everybody. She just wanted to share that and just how what this church has done and leading her to the Lord, what the Lord has done in her life, led her father to the Lord as well. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And so thank you for that testimony, Debbie. Thank you very much for that. All right, children, you are dismissed. You guys go on back to your classes. Young children and old children as well. All right, well, good morning. It was very rushed this morning. We have a few things that we do in this church. We have a few things. So on Sunday mornings we have a new believers or a new members class. It's kind of one of the same. And we also have a next steps class that takes place at 9 o'clock and 9:30. And so we have those classes in the morning. We were just having such good conversation and stuff in our class this morning that, man, by the time we weren't even close to done. But by the time we're like, oh man, it's 20 minutes, and so we had to leave. And so it's one of those classes. If you are a new member here, or you're a new believer, and you want to get signed up into that class and go through the new believers class, or you're getting ready to finish the new believers class, hey, just make sure that you stay in contact, because in the next steps class, we're going through books, and they're about, some of them are 5 week, which are turning into 7 week books, but we have books that you'll be able to jump in on, and so you're like, oh, I didn't start at the beginning. It's okay. Just make sure you stay signed up. Make sure you stay informed when the next book is going to start, so that we can make sure that we have enough materials and stuff like that. Also, Tuesday night is our prayer meeting, but Wednesday night we have men's and women's study that takes place here. And men, we're getting ready to start a couple things. One of the things we're getting ready to start is we're getting ready to go back through the book Measure of a Man again. And so there's a sign-up sheet on the back. It's a great book to go through. I encourage all Christian men to go through it. But we're getting ready to go through that. We need to get some books ordered. And so that's starting up here pretty soon. So please, if you're interested in that come into that study on Wednesday night. Women, they don't have a sign-up sheet, but if you could let Jasmine or Teresa know, because I know that they do have a book, and they want to make sure that they have enough of that too. So get signed up. Make sure you talk with somebody. And then Thursday night is our all-ages study. So that's the ages or the study night where everybody comes together. Men and women meet in here, and then all the children go to their age respective classes. On Wednesday nights, we do have child care. So if you're like, oh, I got my kids, it's okay. Bring your kids. They'll be in one of the classrooms. We load them full of sugar. That way, when they go home, they're all rambunctious. No, but we have child care on Wednesday night as well. But those are what we have for studies and things that are available from this church. So please join us for one of those studies. Just talk to somebody, get signed up, whatever you need. We'll make sure you get some resources to join us for that. Sound good? Also, if you haven't gotten your ACES tickets, sign-ups are too late. But if you need to get your tickets, see Alan. He's got your tickets. If you need to pay Alan for your tickets, pay Alan for your tickets. Get all that stuff for the game that's coming up on the 11th for the Faith Night, ACES Faith Night. So get those tickets from Alan. He has them in his pack, in his folder. I won't talk about his pack. Okay, other than this, it's big enough to move a house, just so you know. Everything you might need is possibly in there. But just come get your tickets from Alan. He has those printed. And hey, let's get to the Word of God. Amen? All right, thank you for that testimony. I love testimony. I love to hear what God's doing in people's life. And so testimony is a big deal around here. We're gonna continue our study in Corinthians to where, man, if you're in the Corinthian church, you'd hear all kinds of testimony. So we're going to continue. We're going to pick up. I really don't know how far we're going to get just because there's so much in chapter 5 here that's really just important. We might only cover two verses today. So we're going to pick up on verse 6, maybe three verses, maybe four, I don't know. But we're going to read from verse 6. We're going to read to the end of the chapter just in case we get that far. But here's what's taking place. If you were to ask testimony in the Corinthian church, you would hear a bunch of stuff, right? You would hear some really cool stuff about how the Holy Spirit was using all of these gifts and all of these things. They were all functioning in the church at Corinth. And so it would seem as far as like, hey, if the gifts were a sign of church health, they would sound like a very healthy church. But here's what happens. If you start digging a little deeper, you're going to start to hear some of these other testimonies, because we saw last week about one of the testimonies that's being shared. One of the things that's going out is that this guy is sleeping with his stepmom, right? And so whether or not they're just having the sexual relationship or if they're living together like husband and wife, what happens is that is being spread. That's a testimony of the church. And more so than that, the testimony that follows that is that the church is proud of it. And they're not proud like, hey, man, you just come, you know, we use the illustration that it's a lot like Vegas. Remember Vegas, the theme of Vegas? What happens here? So the church at Corinth, they're like, man, you can come and do this. We're such a forgiving church. We will just turn an eye to all of these sins and all of these different things. And that would be one of the testimonies. And if you're living in the flesh, you're like, man, that sounds like a pretty good church. I can do whatever I want and still be right with God. Well, here's the problem. Scripture doesn't teach that anywhere. You don't get to continue doing anything you want and be right with God. You know why Jesus Christ went to the cross? Because we weren't right with God. Because we were living lives doing anything we wanted, thinking we were king, thinking we were God. And so that is sin. That leads to sin. And so Jesus went to the cross in our place to make it a possibility for us to come to God. For there to be peace, for us to be made right. Now here's the problem. The church at Corinth had made that step because, you remember, he calls them saints. And so when he refers to them as saints, he's referring to them as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now this is what he's getting to. He's like, here's the deal. You're saints, and so now you need to act like it. And here's kind of part of the problem in the church. Everybody, I got into this discussion with somebody this last week, and he's not wrong in what he said. Is he said, here's the thing, we need to live our lives. We need to just let Christ live his life through us. Amen, you're right. But in his whole entire conversation that I was having with him, he completely negated anything about personal responsibility. It's just basically kind of like this. I just got to sit back and let Jesus do everything. How many of that sounds real nice? That's because some of us are a little lazy. I just want to sit back and just, Jesus, you just do it. Now, here's the thing. What Paul's talking about to the church here, because what we left on last week was the discipline of the person was good for the person. The discipline of this person, and here's the thing, we're going to clarify some of this. The discipline of the person we're going to talk about this week is good for the congregation. It's good for the whole. Now we'll get to it. But here's what he's saying, is you have to act like what you are. Right? How many of you, like, here's the thing, football season is starting, right? How many of you are professional NFL players? Any of you? None of you. You know why? Because if you were, you would be training right now, right? That's for you to walk around and be like, man, I play, here's the thing, we're just going to say it out like this, I play for the greatest team, the Dallas Cowboys, right? That's me. I play, all of you would be like, then why are you standing up there? Right? So I could profess something to you that wouldn't line up. And it wouldn't line up because you're like, well, first of all, you don't have the uniform. Secondly, you're not at camp. Thirdly, you're not on the roster. All of these types of things would start to add up that what I profess to you isn't the truth. And so what Paul says is, here's the thing. What you profess has to be truth. Now, you have to let the Word of God, you have to let the Holy Spirit lead you into the truth and start to change you and push. But when he pushes you, when he moves you, when he makes something clear to you, you have to respond. Not react, respond. God ever tell you to do something and you're like, oh, I'm just going to let Christ do this one through me? You just sit down? Of course not. Because he's called you to do something. And so being a Christian is also a call to do something. It's called to be holy. And so this part of chapter 5, in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, we got a couple of things going on here. There's Christian holiness and Christian discipline. Now, I don't know what you think about when you hear the word discipline. How many of you got something going on in your head already? I say discipline, you're already thinking something. Like, your kids, like, they needed to be straightened out this morning, right? That's not the discipline I'm talking about. There's a couple types of discipline. Discipline is something that needs to take place because some bad behavior or something, and so we discipline, it's corrective. And then there's discipline on the whole. So you correct your children, you have an authority to correct your children so that they are healthy, so that they are part of the whole as healthy parts. But then there's self-discipline. There's discipline that you have to discipline yourself. Spiritual disciplines. How many of you read your Bible? How many of you pray? How many of you come to church? How many of you fellowship? How many of you evangelize? How many of you do all these things? Spiritual disciplines that we talk about. So there's a difference in there, but guess what? Are all of those really easy to do all the time? There's a reason it's called discipline. Sometimes it takes some work. And so to be holy also takes some discipline. Now, as we talked about this last week, we talked about how, you know, he ended up saying, hey, kick this guy out of the church. Okay? He says, kick this guy out of the church. And it's not just like, man, every time anybody's in a sin, like, it's time to boot him out of the church. How many of you would be in trouble? All of us, right? Because this is not sinless perfection. Like, anybody who doesn't walk this perfect line, just boot him out of the church. We would have no church, right? Jesus would be here, and that would be it. And so he's not saying that. He's saying that this person who chooses not to repent, this person who lives and walks in blatant sin and has been called to it and has, in a loving way, chooses not to repent, to continue, and he says, listen, and this is where we're going to get to today. It's better for you to kick them out of the church for him so that he could be saved. Because you remember, like, being outside of the church is supposed to be this place where it's not comfortable. Being outside of the church is not supposed to be like, man, I feel just the same outside of the church as I do the church. And you'll remember, that's part of the church's problem, the Western church at least. You can feel just as good and safe and comfortable outside of the church. I don't mean the building. I mean in the gathering. And it's because the church, because of this, because they don't practice discipline, because the church is not calling out sin in a loving way. And we're in this weird place where we think it's harsh to call out somebody's sin, because here's the problem. Because how many of you have gone to a church and your sin has been called out in a harmful way, in a not loving way? Like, just put it up there. Right? How many of you have been part of that, where a church has done you wrong? Right? And a lot of times, maybe it was because of your sin, and they just didn't treat your sin in a loving way. They just called your sin, and they just, like, raked you over the coals, and you felt like, man, I could never be holy enough. I could never be good enough to be a part of this church. That is not the way he calls us to do this. So when he says kick this person out of the church, it's because they're supposed to come to him in this loving way and give him an opportunity to repent. And when he doesn't repent, kick him out so that it doesn't affect the whole. Because you remember, sin always invites more sin in your own life, but also in the group. And so we're going to talk about this leaven. And you'll remember that the point wasn't to kick him out, just to kick him out. The point in which we're going to get to today is it's to kick the evil out. And so when we get to this word leaven, the leaven is not speaking of the man. We need to get this clear. The leaven is not speaking of the man. The leaven is speaking of the evil. The leaven is speaking of the sin. We don't want to kick people out of the church, but you know what? We need to be very, very diligent to make sure that the evil and the sin is not welcome here and it's kicked out. And so the point of kicking this person out of the church is because he will not repent. He will not turn from the sin. And so to keep it. Anybody been to the dentist? Anybody been to the dentist because you had this really nasty taste in your mouth and they say, hey, your tooth is abscessed. And you're like, I don't know what that means. All I know is it tastes disgusting and it's horrible pain. Do they just yank the tooth right away? No, they give you what? They give you some antibiotics so that they can make sure that they, right? And so sin in the church is kind of the same way. Like, we got to remove, kind of like, we got to kind of wipe this off, and then here's the deal. We got to deal with this, and if the problem persists, then you pull the tooth, right? How many of you got antibiotics, and then they said, hey, we'll pull the tooth in a week or 2 weeks or whatever if that's what we need, right? Because you have to deal with the infection first, and if the infection, when the infection is dealt with, if the problem is still the problem and it's not going to change, what will it lead to? Another infection. And it'll continue to spread through your whole entire mouth. So they do what? They pull the tooth. You know, like, thanks, I didn't want to think about my last visit to the dentist. It's the seriousness of sin is the same way. Listen, the sin's got to be called out and dealt with. There's an antibiotic. We got to put an antibiotic in there. And if the antibiotic doesn't work and the root is still the root, the problem is still the problem, then you have to yank the problem. You have to get rid of the problem. Because as we're going to study today, it'll affect the rest of us. And if you think somebody on this side of the church of sin isn't affecting somebody on this side, you're wrong. Because sin invites more sin in your life, but sin invites more sin in the whole as well. So we're going to read chapter 5, verses 6 through 13. So if you'll stand as we honor the reading of God's word. So there's a little bit of backup to where we're going to start. And again, he starts verse 6 with the boasting thing again. Because the boasting is a thing of pride. It's a form of pride. It's the root of the sin here. And so verse 6 starts with this same boasting. If you're there, say amen. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and the swindlers, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality, or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, Lord, and so we just ask, as we need you to clarify, to make us known, for us to be able to receive your word. Lord, would you just make it known? Lord, let it transform us. Lord, let us live holy lives according to your will, according to your power, and Lord, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please have a seat. So I say we probably won't get through all of this just because there's so much in the five, in verses 9 through 12, there's five things that he highlights, and I think we probably just won't have time to highlight those because we think of certain things like sexually immoral and greed and all these types of things, and we think that if there's certain lines, then I'm not greedy, right? But the depth, Paul lists these five in general, because here's the thing, so much in our English language is just very generalized, and so there's a lot that's generalized, and so next week we'll probably talk about the depths of those five things, and there's a reason there's five, but they speak of something much deeper than just what's listed like that. And so we'll probably get into that next week, just because you probably don't want to be here all day. You're supposed to say, no, Pastor, we want to be in church all day. No, it's too late now. It's too late now. But let's just start here in verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Again, remember what they're boasting. They're boasting that they're just so forgiving that they'll overlook sin. And so, again, it's bringing to this same point. Christ calls us to holiness because Christ is holy. You remember throughout the Bible, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so, holy, we always have this little thing like, oh, well, if I'm holy, I'll have this little halo, and I'll look perfect. Right? How many of you think that when you hear the word holy? Right? We think that, oh, we're supposed to be perfect. You're supposed to look this way. No. Holy means set apart according to his purpose, which brings purity. It brings all of these other things. But it's not one who ultimately like walks around looking and acting like they're better than everybody else. And so when he says this holiness, we should look like Christians. Do you remember when they were first called Christians? You know why they were first called Christians? Because they were imitating Christ. It was actually a derogatory term. They're actually making fun of them. They're like, oh, you guys look like a bunch of little Christs. That's what the term means. Wow, hurt my feelings, right? I'd love for somebody to come up to me and be like, man, you look like Jesus. Thank you. Praise him, right? He's doing a work. And so when he says, listen, your boasting is not good because you're boasting that you're just allowing sin. And not only are you allowing it, by allowing it, you're encouraging it. You cannot encourage sin. How many of you have encouraged a sin in your own life? Like, encouraged at least to this point where you're like, okay, this one's not so bad, right? And did it ever stay there? I don't know about you. I don't know how many of you are like, oh, man, and it just stayed right there, right? It just stayed right there. Why do you think porn is such a enormous? Because it's just one look, gentlemen. But it's not. You've welcomed one look, and it'll turn into something that it'll actually bring you straight into darkness. And everything's the same. When we talk about those five, you'll see the whole thing. Because sin always invites more sin. And so he says, listen, you guys shouldn't be boasting that you're just overlooking sin. What you should be boasting about is that we can find the grace and mercy of God in this place. That we can find forgiveness. But forgiveness doesn't mean you don't deal with it. Right? It doesn't mean forgiven if you're just like, oh, how many of you sweep, who's got hardwood floors or tile or something like that? And you sweep the floor, right? Because I know, ladies, the vacuum just doesn't get everything, right? Just, you know. But you sweep the floor, how many of you sweep it under your rug? Anybody? You can confess in church. It's fine. How many of you sweep it under the one part of the rug that nobody typically, there's no wear pattern on it? Because you're like, as long as nobody walks on this part, nobody will know that it's there. Well, see, that's what happens when we don't actually, like, confess sin and forgive sin and let sin be forgiven. It gets swept under that part of the rug. And as long as nobody walks over there, they won't know that there's something under the rug. Well, that's not forgiven. That just means swept under the rug. And if a church does that with sin, and they don't deal with the root of what caused the sin, of why the sin is happening, and we just say, oh, it's just forgiven with nothing else, then guess what? That sin will continue to manifest and grow. It's like the abscess in your tooth. If they don't give you the antibiotics, guess what? It won't stay on that one tooth. You're like, oh, I can just learn to live with this pain, right? How many of you do that? Like, oh, it's not bad enough to go to the dentist. But what happens? It'll go to the next tooth. It'll go to the next. You know what? It can eventually get to your brain. And for some of us, it'll take a little longer to, you know, like pinpoint. But it's, you know, the point is the same. It'll get there. Because you allow it to remain. And so here's what happens. He says, listen, don't boast in that. Deal with it. The church wants to be this forgiving place. Well, we can't forgive unless we deal with it. You know why Jesus went to the cross? Not to say don't ever think about your sin again. You know why we're going to have communion today? Not to be like, oh, you know what? Hey, we just do this thing because it's a thing we do in church. No, this is to call us to remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross. You know what he did on the cross? He paid for your sins and he paid for mine. And so we need to realize that our sin is a real thing and it was paid for on the cross, and we need to confront it and confess it and forgive each other for it.